Hello and welcome to 12 Years, URN's brand new environmental show, bringing you the debate around climate change and the shape of the environment. We'll be bringing in guests and informing our student listeners on the changing shape of our environment, finding out what people think and discussing what happens next. But first, here is a glimpse into what this show is about.
Well, obviously there's been the protests lately, particularly the Greta Thunberg ones, and obviously that has been a way to make people stand up and pay attention.
Oh, I didn't even know there were strikes going on.
I think the children's climate strike has been a fantastic cause, and I think more children should be getting out there and trying to put their voice forwards.
I think Vegan Euro is a great idea because it gives people the opportunity to try veganism, and then if they like it, they're more likely to carry on. Animal products tend to be the main cause behind climate change, but people don't tend to realise that. So people go about reducing plastic waste and not using straws, but they'll eat fish and red meat, which is very counterproductive.
Humans take responsibilities for their actions and changing our behaviours permanently so that we can permanently fix the future.
Councils don't actually recycle properly. They just end up putting everything all in together. And obviously some of these lazy ideas probably need to be thrown out the window. No matter how many protests happen, that's what's got to change before anything actually does change.
On today's show, we are going to be focusing on the individuals who are forging the path towards a healthier planet. Obviously, we have the big ones, the ones using their public platform to spread awareness, the ones that everyone could name. Greta Thunberg. At only 15, she spent her school days standing outside of the Swedish Parliament, calling for change, which resulted in the organisation of mass school strikes. She now travels the world, spreading her want for change, but has recently become the focus of online trolls trying to undermine her. However, I think there's something to be said in the way she's dealt with these trolls, with such dignity, especially for someone so young. David Attenborough, of course, the nation's favourite. He has inspired generations of people to engage with and appreciate nature, educated them on the importance of all animals on this planet, and helped to raise awareness to the growing risk of extinction for many species. And lastly, Leonardo DiCaprio. While he may not be the first thought for many, he's still an avid advocate for climate change, setting up the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation in 1998, whose mission, in their own words, is to protect the world's last wild places. They implement solutions to restore damaged or threatened ecosystems and work on some of the most pressing issues of the day. He also recently donated $100 million to fight these issues. Now, I have nothing but admiration for these people, and their public platforms allow them to continue to fight and raise awareness of a cause that is very important. The world would not survive if people like them didn't exist. Indeed, other celebrities such as Stuart and Linda Resnick, owners of The Wonderful Company, whose brand includes Fiji Water, have donated $750 million to the California Institute of Technology to help climate change research, and that money will considerably help to push research forward and find new ways for humanity to live a cleaner and greener life. However, while I'm not taking anything away from their accomplishments, I mean, looking back to Notre Dame recently, people were crying out for billionaires to put their money towards a good cause. These people are not the only people making a difference. This show will focus in on some of those people who haven't got the same media coverage, but who are fighting just as hard to make a difference. Firstly, I asked the students of the University of Nottingham if they knew who any of these people were and who, to them, were the main representatives of the cause. Do you know who Sean Sutherland is?
No.
Noga Levy Rappaport?
Nope.
Rosamund Kiddo Deborah?
Nope.
Clyde Lokes?
Nope.
Redeemer Pandy?
Nope.
Greta Thunberg?
Yes.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yes.
Do you know what links all of these people?
Something to do with the environment?
Have you ever heard of Sean Sutherland?
Oh, I don't think I have.
Noga Levy Rappaport?
No, I can't say I have.
Rosamund Kiddo Deborah?
Yeah, that's a no again.
Clyde Lokes?
No, afraid not.
Redeemer Pandy?
That name rings a bell. That name doesn't even ring a bell. I do recognise that.
Greta Thunberg?
Yeah. I know who Greta Thunberg is.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yes, very much so.
Do you know what links all of these people?
Are they all climate change activists?
They are. Who is the main person that says climate change for you? Who's the main person who represents the movement?
Out of those people, or just generally?
Generally.
As an individual, I'd probably be Greta Thunberg.
Have you ever heard of Sean Sutherland?
No.
Noga Levy Rappaport?
No.
Clyde Lokes?
No.
Rosamund Kiddo Deborah?
No.
Redeemer Pandy?
No.
Greta Thunberg?
Yes.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah.
Do you know what links all of these people?
They're all environmentalists. I think I've heard of the one beginning with R, but I'm not sure if it's the same person I'm thinking of.
Do you recognise anybody on that list?
Attenborough, but I don't know if that counts. But no, apart from that, I don't recognise anybody on the list.
Do you know what links them all?
Nope, because I don't know anybody on that list.
There were the names of a lot of inspirational people being mentioned there, but it is important to look behind the names to the deeds themselves. There are many different ways to make a difference and fight for change. Be them big or small, they all have an impact. But before we look further into the people behind the names just mentioned, let's hear some music. Music is one way of spreading the message through songs such as 8 Man by The Kinks.
I think I'm sophisticated because I'm living my life like a good homo sapien. But all around me, everybody's multiplying and they're walking around like flies, man. So I'm no better than the animals sitting in the cages in the zoo, man. 'Cause compared to the flowers and the birds and the trees, I am an ape, man. I think I'm so educated and I'm so civilized 'cause I'm a strict vegetarian. With the overpopulation and the Christian salvation and the crazy politics. I don't feel safe in this world no more. I don't wanna die in a nuclear war. I wanna sail away to a distant shore and live like an ape man. And I'd be taking off my clothes and living in the jungle. 'Cause the only time that I feel at ease is swinging up and down in a coconut tree. Oh, what a life of luxury to be like an ape man.
There, such as, in man's evolution, he has created the city and the motor traffic rumble, but give me half the chance and I'd be taking my clothes off and living in the jungle. Alongside, I don't feel safe in this world no more, I don't want to die in a nuclear war. These lyrics really convey the fear about man's treatment of the world, and the message is still relevant today, even though the song was released nearly 50 years ago in 1970. But now, let's take a look behind some of the names mentioned earlier. I apologise if I pronounce any of these incorrectly. Rahidma Pandey, at only 9 years old, she filed a lawsuit against the Indian government for not doing their part in the fight against climate change. Nina Gwalinga, from the Ecuadorian Amazon, has been an activist since the age of 8 and won the WWF's Top Youth Conservation Award. Aditya Mukherjee, a teenager who in 2018 began a war against plastic straws, has already replaced more than 500,000 plastic straws at hotels and restaurants in New Delhi. Noga Levy Rappaport, at age just 17, she led the London Climate Strike March in February and is a core organiser at UK Student Climate Change Network. Sian Sutherland, co-founder of A Plastic Planet, introduced Plastic Freeland at Olympia, London's packaging innovation show, showcasing compostable, flexible food and drink packaging, water and grease-resistant cardboard boxes, and household products made from biomaterials. Rosamund Kissy Deborah, after the death of her daughter from asthma linked to air pollution, Rosamund has become a force against pollution, lobbying for curbs on toxic air. Clyde Lokes, deputy leader in Waltham Forest Council. He has introduced pro-walking and cycling schemes, challenging parents who allow their car engines to pump out air at the school gates. Autumn Peltier, aged just 14, Autumn was appointed Chief Water Commissioner for the Ashinabek Nation and was nominated for the International Children's Peace Prize. And finally, Ashira Hershey was co-founder of the US Climate Strike. The list could go on and on because hundreds of people are dedicating their lives to making a difference and making an impact on this planet and having an impact on this planet. But the point is, most of them are doing it without the same acknowledgement as people like Greta Thunberg. The lack of recognition can in many ways make it harder for these people to make a difference due to monetary and time constraints. But the point is, they still battle to actively make a difference in order for a better future. I talked to people to see what they felt about these famous activists and whether they felt they were any more important or influential than these people who aren't getting any coverage at all. Do you think the people who are getting more media coverage are more important than the people who aren't?
Wow, that is a question. Not necessarily. I'm sure there's lots of people that deserve coverage and there's lots of people that don't. I mean, am I allowed to name names? If so, I'd say, well, just the President of the United States, for an example. Tommy Robinson gets, I think, an unnecessary amount of media coverage as a hate monger, basically. So there are obviously lots of people that I think are really clever. Like, I think, just thinking about my lecturers and, like, you know, they got some really insightful views on things like the environment. Like, which is what we were talking about before, and I think, you know, they should probably get a bit more coverage because they actually know what they're doing. These people that just come on, done like 5 minutes of research and decide that it's not human induced or whatever. Yeah, so that's my view.
I wouldn't say they're more important, but they're definitely more powerful in that way.
Activists who've got a social media platform, I think, have a bigger influence. I mean, it just goes with the territory.
I don't think it's necessarily a case of importance. I think it's just the sort of the general remembering that having a platform is not the same as having knowledge. And there are some people in the media with a massive platform who entirely deserve it, and, you know, it's a good thing that they have that recognition and they are able to get their message out there, but that does not make them more or less important than someone who is as equally aware of things but doesn't have the accessibility from a wider audience. So I think it's a really interesting question, and one that maybe ought to be, that we ought to bear in mind as sort of a mass media, looking at who we're giving a platform to.
Yeah, I do, because I think it depends on social characteristics. So Greta Thunberg is obviously white, and she's young, which also helps. And I suppose with media, it's all about that certain image that they want to portray.
Are you saying that what Greta Thunberg does is therefore more important or more influential? Well, there's two different questions there. Is what the what people in the media do more important than those who aren't in the media?
I suppose that it affects what the people do that aren't in the media, because they're not reaching the sort of audience that they could be reaching if the media had given them sort of airtime or talked about them the way that they do, like with Greta Thunberg.
Do you think that more of these people who haven't had the same attention should get this attention?
It depends, I guess, because it must be about what their message is, right?
I think it very much depends on what they're doing. If they've got a big platform and they're getting loads of attention for something that isn't that impactful, then maybe not. But some people who are outside the limelight could be doing something amazing and they should be getting more attention.
Do you think that some of these other activists should be being talked about more?
Yeah, I do. Especially the ones that talk about sort of indigenous lands and sort of rainforests and protecting like sacred mountains. I don't feel like they get enough attention, and what they're doing is quite sort of important for the environment.
Do you think that social class or race has anything to do with who's being portrayed in the media?
Oh, absolutely. We can say as much as we want, you know, we've come on a long way, and yes, politically and socially, economically, in a lot of ways we have, but there's still so much more that needs to be done for women, for ethnic minorities, for certain religious groups. The fact that there are people typically of a certain class or a certain race, certain gender, who are able more easily to get a platform to get their message out there is something that shouldn't be overlooked.
We are now going to have one of my absolute favourite environmentally related songs. This is Joni Mitchell with Big Yellow Taxi.
Up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. Charge the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, farmer, farmer, put away the DDT now. Give me spots on my apples, or leave me the birds and the bees. That you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. Late last night, I heard the screen door slam, and a big yellow taxi took away my old man. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. I said, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
We paved paradise and put up a parking lot. One of my absolute most favourite songs there. I think it sends a very strong message. We are now going to go over to our weather forecaster, Darcy Sean, to find out briefly what is in store for us if things don't start to change.
Hello and welcome, this is Darcy, and this is your weather forecast for the next century. During the 21st century, various computer models predict that Earth's average temperature will rise between 1 degree Celsius and 4 degrees Celsius. Warmer average global temperatures will cause a higher rate of evaporation, causing the water cycle to speed up. More water vapour in the atmosphere will lead to more precipitation and also more clouds. So expect some more rain coming your way. Warmer oceans in the future are expected to cause intensification of storms, although there may not be tropical cyclones worldwide. Some scientists believe there'll be a higher proportion of the most powerful and destructive storms. That's it for the weather today. Tune in next week for the weather in your area, if you live in the Antarctic.
Warmer weather sounds nice, does it not? More rain, more clouds, more life-destroying storms, perhaps not so much. Each week we'll be focusing in on a different country or effect of climate change in order to keep you updated with what's to come on planet Earth. Now, I talked to some people and I asked them whether all of these famous activists in the news were the people who really spoke to them and inspired them to be part of this movement. Who would you say is the biggest environmentalist or the biggest person in the movement right now?
Oh, wow, what a question. I would have to say probably, in terms of how much coverage they get and stuff, I would have to say David Attenborough, because he's constantly talking about it, he's constantly in the news about it, and he's the only one that's really, I think, making strides at all in people's like opinions towards environmental behaviours. And obviously, Greta Thunberg, I think is how you say it at the moment, she's probably the biggest person at the moment who's like making strides. But those are the only two that I can think of, and that's really, really bad.
Do they speak to you?
Well, they do speak to me, but I feel like I've been kind of an environmentalist for the past few years, but I don't think I do enough personally. But yeah, I think they do. I think they just say it how it is. And I think we need to keep doing that. Say everything's going to be screwed up in 5 years' time and people might actually start listening to you.
I mean, Greta Thunberg is having the most presence, but I don't know if any of them really speak to me about environmental issues.
That's interesting. What would you like to see in an environmental leader?
Well, I'd like to see someone who is maybe able to talk to people who are just like ordinary people who maybe aren't able to make massive amounts of change and isn't like. I like how Greta is challenging people, but she's also challenging people who aren't able to affect change in the way that she wants, which, to be honest, sometimes makes you feel guilty, but guilt doesn't necessarily make you do anything. Whereas if someone could empower us to like give us suggestions that we can actually do, I think that would probably help, but that would be someone I would actually listen to.
I think it's probably Greta Thunberg, but that's because she gets the most media attention.
Does she speak to you?
No, not really.
That's a really good question. I think to go slightly off-piste, if you look at kind of more left-wing intellectuals, someone like Matt Haig, for instance, the author, who is so vocal about climate change but isn't doing it in a really preachy way, he's just there trying to disseminate information. I think that's a really useful way of getting particularly young people, just in terms of social media, into the movement and just aware and starting to think about their own actions.
I spoke to Lee Taylor, our SU Sustainability Officer, Serena Brown from the University Sustainability Office, and Georgia Kavanagh, the President of the Sustainability Society, to find out who are important representatives of the movement for them, what they do, and how we as students can get involved on campus to make a difference. Who do you think are the most important people in the movement?
I mean, there's a lot of buzz right now around Greta Thunberg.
I'd say there's a lot of attention on, like, Greta Thunberg.
I'd say, obviously, you've got people like Greta, who's very influential as an individual.
But I think it's important to listen to what she actually says about listening to scientists, like that's her main message.
Obviously she is actually making like really big changes in terms of people's attitude to sustainability. They're really starting to take notice of it. The work that she's been doing with really promoting the causes is absolutely fantastic.
Collective movements like Extinction Rebellion, who are very influential at the moment, even if they kind of alienate some people from it, at least they are big speakers in the movement.
Extinction Rebellion too, I mean, they're really getting stuff done, they're really making waves. You constantly see in the news, like, Extinction Rebellion, block the street, Extinction Rebellion, do this, do that. It's great. Having that in the news, like, getting that on mainstream media is incredible, because it's making waves. It's really exciting. Obviously, the United Nations, too, have always been such a huge part of it with the Sustainable Development Goals. The SDGs are so important in terms of actually laying out a framework. Within Nottingham, There's Sally Longford. She is Deputy Chair of Nottingham City Council. She's also Portfolio Holder for Energy, the Environment and Democratic Services. And she's also Councillor for Lenton and Wollaton West. So all of the things that like we're interested in, she's there for us. But she's only been in the new post as Deputy Chair of the Council for a few months. And God, she's smashing it. She's doing great. She's absolutely amazing at it. And like, obviously, the council have declared a climate emergency. They've declared their intention to become the first carbon neutral city in the UK by 2028. And sitting on those boards and sitting on those partnerships as I do, seeing the plans and stuff that she's been spearheading and that the team that they have been working on is just absolutely incredible. So, yeah, big props to Sally Longford.
And then on the other side of the coin, you have people like Donald Trump who are advocating for like anti-climate change and all that. So I'd say that's still like an influential part of the movement because you still have so many climate change deniers going on at the moment.
So I wouldn't say that there are sort of individuals who are really prominent. I'd say actually look beyond that and say what's important about the message about climate change. We need to sort of listen and actually take action rather than just infinitely talking about it. You actually need to listen and do things. I think that's the important thing.
So what is it exactly that you do?
So I'm the Environment and Social Justice Officer at the Students' Union. What that means is hard to pin down. I'm kind of like an activist. I'm kind of a consultant. I'm kind of a sustainability development coordinator. I'm kind of like a student group president in a way. I do a bit of everything, but day to day, what my job tends to be, I work with individual students and student groups to empower the voice of sustainability, both social and environmental, on campus. So that's representing it to the university, to the union, to the actual student body itself. So that's through like hosting events and campaigns and socials, through engaging with all the different student groups that are interested. And there's a lot of student groups that are interested. To help empower them to make these changes, working with our partners, so external businesses like Player Layer and things like that, to help them improve their sustainability and really bring it to the forefront of the student experience, organising like event weeks, like Sustainability Week, working with individual students to help them promote their campaigns, and working directly with the university to help actually change the uni. And a lot of what I'm doing at the moment is around that sort of changing the uni itself. So I'm working with like university executive board to try and nail down exactly where sustainability is going to lie within the new university strategy. Working with university sustainability team very closely. I even have a desk in their office. I'm there a lot. I'm basically a member of their team at this point. Providing them with the student voice and insight that they need, because they handle a lot more operational side of things. I handle all of the promotional side of things. And then working internally within the union to make the union best practices, because we don't have a sustainable development coordinator at the union. It's just me, it's just the ESG officer. So everything sustainability ends up coming down to myself or one of the directors. So I've got a lot of work to do.
So I work in the university's sustainability team. So we're based in the estates department and we have sort of operational responsibility for sustainability. So that means we make sure that the hop bus services run and we look after waste and recycling. And we do sort of like other environmental initiatives in travel and transport, environmental management systems and stuff like that. And sort of a big lead on awareness and engagement around sustainability, but we're not the only people in the university that do that or that should do that. So there are other sort of players around the university as well. And I think it's important to sort of consider the role of like senior management and like the university executive board in terms of leadership around sustainability as well.
So as Sustainability Society, we're like primarily trying to influence people to make lots of little changes in their lives, so try and get everyone to do little things rather than just a couple of people doing big things, even though obviously we have some individuals in the society who are kind of more instigators of change and pursuing big campaigns and protests. But it's more just trying to get the whole student body to do little things. I think that's more achievable and also potentially more influential.
What can students do on campus to get more involved or to do their part?
The best way to get involved is by being a part of the ESJ network. That's the Environment and Social Justice Network. It's a part of your students' union, so we are an actual, we're basically a department of the Students' Union that's here to represent students in social and environmental causes, which means we're free forever and for everyone. We're here to represent the voice of the students to the uni and to the union. And as part of the network, there's about 50 or so different student groups that they can get involved in. Those range from the obvious ones like sustainability and like agricultural things, all the way down to like, well, we've got cycling in there, we've got yoga in there, we've got URN itself in there. All these different student groups that are actively passionate about these causes and are wanting to work on them are in there. So you can join the network and then join one of the societies or even more of them. There's loads in there. And come and really get involved with these things. Or if you're just passingly interested, you can still join the network and just keep in the loop. It's free. You just go on the SU website.
I think it's important to consider like your personal life, like how you get to campus, like what you eat, like how much waste you consume, like while you're here. Do you need to print everything off on paper? That's one element, and that's important, but it's also important to consider like what students can do as a collective. If something's important to you as a campaign, I think students tend to underestimate the power of their voice to ask for things like sensibly. Sort of like it ramps up into more of a movement. Like it's important to consider the impact of your lifestyle, but really, like, we don't want 5% of people like doing 100% of the things. We want like 95% of people doing like 50% of the things. It's so much more impactful and much better for us. So the more people doing like more stuff rather than just like a minority of people trying to do everything is much, much better for us.
So obviously you've got campaigns run by the university, like Waste Not, so not buying single-use plastic, not buying cups at Starbucks, things like that the university is kind of sponsoring. Obviously joining Sustainability Society is a good idea because we do lots of kind of events throughout the year, and even just joining and paying the fee is contributing somewhat to the effort. And like we're raising money this year for an environmental charity, things like that. Just getting involved in student initiatives. Tips is really important, I think. Foodprint, it's kind of a denomination of Enactus. So Enactus is it's affiliated with the uni now, but it's basically a society where students run social enterprises, which are like businesses, but the profits are all reinvested back into the business itself. And Foodprint is one of those, so it's a social supermarket which takes kind of surplus stock from local organisations and resells it really cheap. So it combats both food waste, the environmental issue, and then food poverty, social issue. So yeah, you can get involved in that by volunteering in the shop or by signing up to Enactus and becoming one of the managerial team.
Now at the beginning of the show, I spoke about how you have the big people such as Greta Thunberg, and lots of people have messaged her throughout as one of the main influencers of the day with regards to this cause. Should Greta be the icon that we all look to, or is she overrated, and should we be letting some of these other people shine through?
Because I kind of think, to be honest, it's a bit unfair that she, you know, manages to get all this recognition. Like, yes, she's done so well in her environmental campaign, but I think it gets to a point now where I feel like people are just supporting her for the sake of it, and they're not looking at what other people are doing. Like, there's so much work that gets done by other small environmental groups or other people that work for, like, environmental charities that kind of just gets overlooked. Like, we've got loads of environmental groups that the University of Nottingham, but I don't know how much more involvement they've got because of Greta. You know, she's not been saying, like, join local groups.
But
like
she has been talking to people on a level that she's not coming from this big political background. I mean, she is now heavily involved in politics, but she hasn't come from that background. She has come as a child who wants to make a difference. And so she does talk to people because she's not trying to take over. She's just trying to show people how they can make a difference in the world.
Yeah, I think what it's like, but if she's saying that this difference that needs to happen needs to be so huge and so massive, and I think that there should be somebody that's able to actually implement that change. Like, obviously she's done as much as speaking in, you know, like the UN Council, stuff like that. That's been fantastic, but what has actually changed? Like, nothing. other than like attitudes. We need to see change starting to happen from actually on an administrative level. We need to be able to see that happening, and for that we need to have politicians, that the people that say they represent us have been voted in as representing us. Surely it needs to be coming from them.
But the politicians aren't doing it, and the point with Greta is that she is coming forward and she is telling them to, you know, that they need to start thinking about this and making changes. She's the one telling them what you want, what you've just said you'd like, that they need to make changes.
Yeah, I still think, like, as much as she can tell them, like, where is the change? What has actually happened since she's been... She's been doing this school strike. Obviously, she's made a huge development since she started it, but I just feel frustrated that all this hard work and effort goes in, all these people all around the globe, young students striking in the name of her, in her name, and what's changed? Nothing.
What do you think, then, looking at Greta, about the fact that... about the fact that she is travelling the world right now. Yes, she's doing it on a boat, she's not flying, but she is travelling the world, and she is, you know, that's, she's in a way not doing environmental things in order to spread the message. Which do you think is the lesser of two evils there?
I think, like, to be fair to her, I know I've said that I think that there needs to be more change coming from a different area, but I think her travelling around, like, isn't an issue, and because she'd get stick in the media for whatever she did. If she, you know, walked to America instead of taking the eco boat she took, or instead of flying, she would have got criticism for it. You know, and if she'd flown on a jet to get there quickly, she would have got stick for that as well. I think it's quite hard to find a balance. Like, everyone knows it in the media, it's quite difficult to find that balance. So to be fair to her, I don't think the travelling is a problem. I think the message needs to get out one way or another. I think going and speaking at councils does do, you know, it does make some difference. But again, like, where's the change? Yes, she went all the way over to America, but what did it do?
Aside from Greta, so other people in the media, let's talk about the big ones that I've mentioned. David Attenborough, do you think he can be considered a key player in the environmental movement, or do you think he just happens to be associated with animals and it's really kind of an accidental reason?
I think, like, culturally, he's been really beneficial for the environmental movement. Like, loads of young people. Like, it's actually young people that love watching stuff like Blue Planet, Planet Earth, Planet Earth 2, all of that. They love, like, we love watching it. And that's thanks to him. And I think that increases the amount of people that want to be eco-friendly. And he is an environmentalist. Like, he, you know, he cares for nature and for the world. So I think he's almost a political figure in terms of, like, the political environmental movement by proxy. Like, he didn't purposely put himself there. He was, at the end of the day, you know, a presenter doing the show that he does. But because of the messages that his show put out, which was with the damage we're doing to the earth and equally how beautiful nature is, he was going to be involved in this environmental debate no matter what. I don't think he really chose to. He might have done, but I think he's definitely been put into this because of the context of the shows that he does.
And lastly, on the big people, what about... So Leonardo DiCaprio obviously has the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation. He donated $100 million recently. Equally, the co-owners of the wonderful company who have brands such as Fiji Water have donated $750 million towards climate change research. Do you think, again, that they should be rewarded as these big, big influential people in the movement and they're doing so much? Or do you reckon paying money is easy and, again, we should be maybe not giving them as much credit as we are?
Oh, I think, like, anyone who earns that much money is going to have to do something with it. Do you know what? And he's chosen... I think it's great that he's chosen to do something good with it. But at the end of the day, like, he did work hard, but he has a lot of money. And it's not like he is, you know, living off scraps to be able to donate all this money to environmental charities. And I think it's good the message he did. Like, that film he did, Before the Flood or After the... I can't remember which one. Before or After the Flood. One of those. I watched that, and that was actually one of the first things that got me, like, really shocked about, like, what situation we've got ourselves into. I feel like this... It feels a bit fake. Like, I think that's what people like about Greta, especially young people, is that she is just a school, like, she's just a schoolgirl. Whereas Leonardo DiCaprio, he's an extremely famous actor. He's not relatable in any way. Nobody can relate to him. Nobody can relate to the amount of money, the amount of fame, and how successful he is. They might go, oh, that's a great message. You know, it's really good he's getting that money out. But I feel like it is difficult for people to choose a... I think people prefer someone who they can relate to. And he doesn't give that.
The huge band 1975 also went to Greta Thunberg and asked her if they could get involved, and they recorded this song together.
Climate and ecological crisis, and we need to call it what it is, an emergency. We must acknowledge that we do not have the situation under control and that we don't have all the solutions yet, unless those solutions mean that we simply stop doing certain things. We must admit that we are losing this battle. We have to acknowledge that the older generations have failed. All political movements in their present form have failed. But Homo sapiens have not yet failed. Yes, we are failing, but there is still time to turn everything around. Can still fix this. We still have everything in our own hands. But unless we recognize the overall failures of our current systems, we most probably don't stand a chance. We are facing a disaster of unspoken sufferings for enormous amounts of people. And now is not the time speaking politely or focusing on what we can or cannot say. Now is the time to speak clearly. Solving the climate crisis is the greatest and most complex challenge that Homo sapiens have ever faced. The main solution, however, is so simple that even a small child can understand it. We have to stop our emissions of greenhouse gases. And either we do that, or we don't. You say that nothing in life is black or white, but that is a lie, a very dangerous lie. Either we prevent a 1.5 degree of warming, or we don't. Either we avoid setting off that irreversible chain reaction beyond human control, or we don't. Either we choose to go on as our civilization, or we don't. That is as black or white as it gets. Because there are no grey areas when it comes to survival. Now we all have a choice. We can create transformational action that will safeguard the living conditions for future generations. Or we can continue with our business as usual and fail. That is up to you and me. And yes, we need a system change rather than individual change. But you cannot have one without the other. If you look through history, all the big changes in society have been started by people at the grassroots level. People like you and me. So I ask you to please wake up and make the changes required possible. To do your best is no longer good enough. We must all do the seemingly impossible. Today, we use about 100 million barrels of oil every single day. There are no politics to change that. There are no rules. models to keep that oil in the ground. So we can no longer save the world by playing by the rules. Because the rules have to be changed. Everything needs to change. And it has to start today. So everyone out there, it is now time for civil disobedience. It is time to rebel.
This is the interesting thing. I've been asking people if they've ever heard of these people, all of whom in their own way have done a lot for the environment, and also many of whom have won awards for it and have been big activists and, you know, are really, really fighting the cause, but they just aren't as well known as people like Greta or Adam Attenborough or Leonardo DiCaprio. And my question really is, do we have the space in the media for all of these people, or do you reckon knowing about all of them would kind of counteract the message because it would just become like a bandwagon?
I think there's definitely space for it because we fill up our media with so much rubbish, like so much nonsense. People that just like shouldn't be there. You know, there's a lot of political figures that I don't think deserve the time that they get, but obviously that's other people's opinions. But I think the more that this is pushed, the more these people will be put into the media. A year ago, nobody knew who Greta Thunberg was. Nobody had heard of her. And look at her now. Maybe in a year's time, one of these people or somebody else will have their name bigger in the media. I don't think it's going to be jumping on a bandwagon. And if it is, it needs to be done. Like, it's a necessity for us to be able to make some form of change. So I don't think it's a problem if loads of people start popping up as environmental activists that are quite famous. Because the more people that there are as well, the more that people are going to be able to relate to. And people kind of trust as they're, you know, oh, I've saw this person make a speech and they spoke about certain type of environmentalism that really touched me. So this is what has made me, I don't know, turn vegetarian. This has made me stop driving and start cycling. You know, just little changes that people will be inspired to make.
So people on this list, some of them are British, some of them are not, some of them are, say, from Ecuador, for example. You know, there's people from all over the world. Do you think that nationality plays an important role? Because obviously Greta Thunberg is from Sweden. Is from Sweden. And do you think that people are going to relate more to people from their own countries? Or do you reckon people having it as a global issue is important?
I think, yeah, global issue is important. As I mean, as many people as you can get possible from all over the world contributing. I think that's good. But equally, I think it is impossible to be able to get someone from every country. That is, you're not going to be able to do that. You know, people have their own problems in their own countries. Not everyone's focused on that kind of global development. But yeah, I would like to see more of it. I don't think it's a problem that there's going to be more happening.
We are coming near to the end of the show. We have 10 minutes left. Tune in next week where we're going to be talking about Extinction Rebellion and the strikes. Here is a 2-minute ITV news clip from the strikes that have been going on.
On a day when the world's children were called to act, in Britain they answered in astonishing numbers. This was the scene in the capital as thousands swapped school for the streets. And in Brighton too, there was a massive turnout for a climate strike for young and old. In Bristol, GP Grace Thompson and her 5-year-old daughter Kitty started their preparations early. The enormity of the climate change crisis is almost overwhelming her.
I can't look my kids in the eye, really. As a mother of 3 children, 5, 2 and 7 months, if I didn't really realise the scale of the crisis, and since I've realised that, I'd do anything to save their lives, really.
This family, like so many others, deciding to cancel other plans and head into the city centre. And there they stood in protest at what's happening to the planet and demanded urgent action. Some teachers were here too, like Caris Greenwood, with one of her pupils, Evie, both out of class for the day.
I would say this is education, and actually it's a really important thing that children know about this and what they can do about it.
We're here because we want to make the world better.
But by far the greatest demographic were teenagers, who will inherit the consequences of inaction.
We should be in school right now, but we're on the streets striking because we have no choice. If we don't strike, then the future the action's not going to happen fast enough.
This is one of more than 200 climate strikes around the country, uniting both young and old. And the central message at each and every one of them, the climate crisis demands action now.
Thank you, Birmingham. It's so good to see so many of you here today.
This was Birmingham's Victoria Square this afternoon, where the numbers were far greater than organisers expected. And this was Edinburgh, again packed streets with many children demanding change.
It makes me happy just to see how many people are doing this to save this planet.
The overwhelming mood across all the gatherings was peaceful but passionate. Tomorrow's voters signalling to today's politicians that they should be doing better. Dan Rivers, ITV News, Bristol.
And today we have heard about how it's not just important to recognise those big players in the movement, but also to consider all of the people who are making a difference on a small or grand scale and who are just generally really trying to make the world a better place. Some of the people that we mentioned earlier, please go and look up, please go and see how you can support and how you can do your bit. And of course, earlier, as we spoke to the people on campus, you can definitely get involved, and there are many, many, many ways for you to do that. Thank you for listening. I will leave you now with a little bit of Marvin Gaye and Mercy, Mercy Me.
On the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. Our things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby by the night. Mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?